The Lord be with you. Before we begin today, a couple of announcements. In the prayers for today, we're going to include my cousin Rosetta, who's having a second hip surgery tomorrow to repair a pretty major problem. And so we'll lift her up in prayer as well. And we'll also be giving thanks for Linda's friend Susan, who has, we've been praying for her. She has had cancer, I think, of the stomach, was it, Linda? Yeah, cancer of the stomach. And she's been undergoing a lot of treatment, and as far as they know at this point, she's free of that cancer. And so we're going to give thanks to God for healing her. And then finally, yesterday was Armed Services Day, and so we'll honor the members of our Armed Services by singing our last hymn, and you'll recognize that, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. And so we begin. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with the opening sentences. I will ask the Father, and he will give me an advocate to help you and to be with you forever. A world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, Jesus says, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever keeps my commands is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Bless, O God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer, or remove me from his steadfast love. We sing our opening hymn.
Thank you.
Please stand for the confession and absolution. Beloved, Jesus said, "I will be with you always." Let us take him at his word and come into his presence, sharing our great need of him as we confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God all my sins with which I have ever offended you, especially the sin of trying to go it alone without you. On my own, I am weak, and sin no easily makes me forget your word and will for my life. I have sinned in many ways by evil thoughts, words, and deeds. Because of your merciful death on the cross and in the power of your resurrection from the dead, let me hear from you the words of your grace and forgiveness and new life. Amen. In keeping with his promise, the Lord sends another helper to deliver his own words of forgiveness. So now, as a commissioned servant of the word and by the authority of Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Come to us, Spirit of Christ, and teach us the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to keep your holy commandments and to love you with our whole heart and our neighbor as ourselves. For you live and reign with the Father and the Son, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as the first two lessons are read.
Our first reading today comes from Acts 17, 16 to 31. Now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epiranians and the Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus and said, "May we know what this new teaching is and what you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what this means." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I pass along, I observe the objects of your worship. I found also an altar with an inscription to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives all to mankind, life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place. And they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by art and an image of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of his and of he has assurance all, to all by raising him from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
The psalm appointed for this Sunday is Psalm 68. Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out through a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt offerings, the fat of animals, with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of the bulls and goats. Come and hear, all of you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried out to him with my mouth, and high praise with all my tongue. For I cherished iniquity in my heart. So if I had changed iniquity in my heart, I would not have he would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me.
Our epistle reading comes from 1 Peter 3:13 to 22. Now who is here? Who is there to harm you if you are zealous for God? But even if you should suffer for the righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them or be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey. When God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water, baptism, which corresponds to this now, saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for good conscience, through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and power having been subject to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus speaks, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commandments keeps them. He it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as we sing the sermon hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel for today continues in the John's record of the things that occurred on the night before Jesus was crucified. So these words come from Jesus at the Last Supper. In some ways, we need to have pity on the poor disciples. Jesus has been telling them first that somebody is going to betray him. Then he does something unheard of in those times, and that is that he washed their feet. He predicts that some of them will deny him, and they all say, no, we would never do that. He said he's going to leave them, and they can't come with him, and yet he says he's going to prepare a place for them in his father's house because it has many rooms. And these things are all pretty strange to them. And so they are understandably confused. So Jesus offers them some compassion. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me." And then we get to today's reading where he says he's going to leave them and send another helper to be with them, to help them. In the current vernacular, we might say that Jesus said, "I will talk to my Father and he will provide someone to be with you to take my place when I leave." There are two words here that are, I think, important and significant. The first word that is translated "another" suggests that this person who takes Jesus' place will be just the same as, or just as good as, an equivalent to Jesus himself. And the other word that's translated as "helper" has several meanings in the Greek. It can mean consoler, it can mean advocate, it can mean a comforter, it can mean an intercessor. And Jesus identifies this person then as the Holy Spirit. Well, if you think about it, isn't it always nice to have someone there to be a helper, to be with you? Someone who will offer counsel in difficult situations. Someone with whom you can compare notes and thoughts and ideas. Someone you can turn to for advice. Sometimes it's just nice to have someone there to talk to, even though they don't necessarily provide the answers that you need or solutions to whatever trial you are going through. I spent about 15 years in practice, both by myself and in a group practice. And I can tell you that being in a group practice is much more comforting because you have helpers there with you. If I saw something on an x-ray that I didn't quite understand or recognize, I had other people that I could go to and say, "Take a look at this film and tell me what you think. What do you see there?" Or if I came across a finding on a patient that I wasn't familiar with, I had someone that I could ask and talk the situation over with. Let me give you an example. A patient came in years ago, and his complaint was that when he laid on the mattress, or even worse, if he laid on the floor, his head did not touch the floor or the mattress. And he didn't think that was right. And he was right. It's not. I had no idea what that was. And so I talked to a couple of my colleagues, and they said, "Oh, yeah, that's a sign of ankylosing spondylitis." I had someone to help me, to be there with me, to talk things over, to find out what they were thinking. It was a comforting way to practice, to have someone there. So the question that we ask today is, to whom do we talk? Or whom can we trust? Who gives us good advice? Who's out there for us to help us to be our helper? Well, we can talk to family members, but sometimes they're not the right people to talk to. Sometimes they're too close to the problem. Sometimes maybe they are the problem. And so you say, "Well, I will talk to a good friend." Well, sometimes good friends are well-meaning, but they don't necessarily have answers either. And so you might say, "Well, I will talk to a professional. They can help me." And that's true. Professionals help us. But all of the people that I just mentioned are humans, and so we don't always get the right answer or maybe the best answer because they don't know any more about the future than you or I do. I read a study that looked at the probability of being helped with emotional problems by several different kinds of professionals. There was a 44% probability of being helped by a psychoanalyst. The study also reported that there was a 53% probability of being helped by a psychiatrist, and there was a 61% probability of being helped by a psychotherapist. Well, that's not 100%. Further, the study said this: there's a 73% probability of getting better on your own without talking to anyone. So to whom can we turn? Friends and relatives and professionals are human, just like we are, and so they make mistakes. To whom can we turn for help and for guidance, for comfort and direction? I think the answer to that question comes in our reading today. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, another name for the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. Notice his word of caution here. The world doesn't understand this concept of a helper or a counselor or an advocate or the Holy Spirit because they cannot see the Holy Spirit. And if they cannot see, they do not believe. And they don't know what to look for. And if they can't see the Holy Spirit, then they don't believe in his even existence. But John reassures us. He says, Jesus, quote, I quote, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you, regarding the Holy Spirit. So we too can be assured that because this Holy Spirit dwells within us, was placed in us in our baptism, that we know about this Holy Spirit, that this is someone that we can pray to, we can acknowledge, we can get help from. Then Jesus goes on with some more reassurance. He says, whom does Jesus say he will ask? He says he will ask his Father, and he will give us that helper. This helper, this consoler, this advocate that we have within us is a gift from God himself. And then Jesus goes on to say, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. He's referring to the time after his ascension, after his resurrection, and before his ascension. Jesus says, because I live, because I was raised from the dead and live after death, you also will live. Jesus promises us that because he lives again after death, we too will live again after our death. Today, Jesus promises the disciples and us that God will send us the Holy Spirit. Some would call this Holy Spirit as someone who's called to stand by your side. That Holy Spirit is there for you. To stand by your side, to be your helper, your consoler, your counselor, your advocate. To whom can we turn in difficult times? In whom do we have the confidence, that 100% probability of receiving help, that 100% probability of knowing that that person, that Holy Spirit, hears our prayers? It's that Holy Spirit that we can turn to when no one else seems to have the answer. It's that Spirit that we can turn to when things are so bad that we don't even know how to pray or what words to use. In Romans, Paul says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I like that phrase, groanings too deep for words. Words that just aren't part of our language. That's what the Holy Spirit does when he prays for us. I asked the Sunday school class this morning, when you think of the Holy Spirit, what's the symbol that you see? What do you visualize? And I got the typical response of, well, it's a dove. Like John says he saw a dove coming down on Jesus after his baptism. And we think of that flame of fire that came down on the disciples on the day of the Pentecost. Someone said, well, the Spirit is like the wind that's kind of everywhere among us. We can't see it, but it's there. And those are all true things. But I think that tends to make us think that the Holy Spirit is something that doesn't have a whole lot of power. I think we need perhaps a better symbol, because we need something that represents the true amount of power that that Holy Spirit has. That Spirit has the power to forgive our sins. One of my verses that I came across several years ago that I particularly like comes from 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Paul writes to Timothy, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, for God gave us not a spirit of fear, but a power and love and self-control." That Holy Spirit is a gift from God, not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a power to whom we can pray and expect responses. So from today, we can gather several things from our text. First, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he didn't just leave us here on our own. He didn't leave us here as an orphan. He sent another person to help, another part of the Trinity, so that because he's no longer with us, he sent that Spirit to be with us, to stand beside us, to guide us and to comfort us, to console us, even to pray for us when things are so bad that we don't know what to pray for or can't find the words to pray. Finally, we are assured that we have a direct and personal relationship with God himself. As Jesus reminds us by saying, "I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." And so we are all together in one relationship. So today we give thanks for Jesus' fulfillment of the promise that we would receive another helper. And so I remind you that when things get difficult this week, this month, this year, when you're troubled and you meet the trials and tribulations of this world, remember that you are not alone. Your Jesus has arranged for a helper to be here with you. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing our next hymn. We offer our gifts to God, acknowledging that all we have comes from Him. Please stand for the prayers of the church. We pray for all the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Spirit of God, we offer our praise and thanksgiving that you will not leave us or forsake us, but come to us and all the world by working through your word. By your help, we worship and glorify you and take continual refuge in your great mercy and grace. Abide with us and keep us close to you, that we may share in your eternal life and love. Risen Lord, in your mercy. God of protection, you sent your Son to fight on our behalf against our greatest enemies of sin, death, and Satan, and he was victorious. Today we ask that you preserve and protect the men and women of our armed forces from all harm and danger. Grant them strength and courage as they serve their country with honor, and guard her citizens from danger. Keep them strong in the one true faith as they face adversity from all sides. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Great physician, comfort and heal all who suffer this day in sorrow or need, in sickness or adversity, in fear or depression. We pray especially for Paula, Dan, Jerry, Audrey, Jocelyn, Piper, and Norm. We pray that you would protect and comfort Rosetta during her surgery this week. And we pray for those who cannot be with us today: Tom, Bonnie, Arlen, Jean, Fred, Denny, Karen, and Marion. Holy Spirit, comfort each of these by your presence and remind them of the certainty of their eternal life through faith in you. Use us to minister to them and to all who may be in need of our help. Risen Lord, in your mercy. God of healing, as you walked in this world, you showed mercy and compassion to many through physical healings. We praise and thank you for the mercy and compassion you have shown in restoring Linda's friend Sue to health. We pray that she would continue to be strengthened in body, mind, and spirit by your presence, and that having endured this trial, her faith in you may be strengthened. We thank you for the healing from sin that you provide for Sue and for all people by your death and resurrection. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Ascended God, we begin this new day and week in your name. Thank you for the opportunities you provide today for your people to gather and receive your gifts of word and sacrament. Uphold and strengthen all pastors who proclaim and administer these gifts. We give thanks for all organists, lectors, and all who are involved in worship services everywhere. And give humble hearts to those who attend, so that your gifts may be received for the forgiveness of sins and restoration of the joy of your salvation. Risen Lord, in your mercy. We pray for these things, O God, and whatsoever else we should have asked of you, so grant us by your mercy. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God. Praising you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, we give you thanks that you send us a helper, your Holy Spirit, that we are not left alone, but always strengthened in faith through your word and sacraments. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene and Peter and John and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Having accomplished his goal of salvation through his death and resurrection, he now sends us his Spirit that he may be with us through all our days, that we may walk by faith, if not by sight. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and the Holy Spirit, the Helper. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us to do in his own testament. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all the glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins for you and for all people. Do this in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also
with you. We share God's peace. Welcome to the Lord's table. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. May may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Blessings of Almighty God be with you today and tomorrow and forever. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Christ, sin for you. The blood of Christ, shed for you. The blood of Christ, shed for you. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. With thankful hearts, we give you praise, gracious Father, for renewing and strengthening our baptismal faith by your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ and his resurrection. With the very body and blood, your Son, the price of our salvation, because he lives, we live also. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. If anyone has announcements, please come forward. No announcements? Nada. Okay, very good. We'll sing our closing hymn. Go in peace, serve the Lord.